What's up, Braves country? It's April 10th, 2023. Hope everyone had a happy Easter. It was a eventful weekend for the Braves as they dropped 3 of 4 to the Padres in Atlanta. The Braves now stand at 6-4. We'll get into some of the happenings and some of the news here in a second. But again, thank you for tuning into this podcast. I appreciate everyone for listening. If you will, give this podcast a follow, subscription on your favorite podcasting platform. And for questions on the podcast, anything you want to ask, hit me up at Dr. Braves. Again, the Braves are now 6-4 after getting off to a hot start, looking like world beaters. They have had some injuries and some things happen here recently that's caused them to struggle, and they now sit at 6-4 after losing 3 out of 4 from the Padres at home, as I just mentioned. So let's get into some of the things going on right now that are maybe causing some of the trouble. And then we'll talk about what's good. Let's start with what's good. The top three guys in the order are fabulous. Ronald Acuna, Matt Olson, and Austin Riley have been really, really good. Arguably, at this point in time, we may have the best top three in baseball in the order. I guess the Angels can probably argue with those top two if when they bat Trout and Ohtani in that top two and three. So those two guys, the 1-2 punch there. Hard to argue, but I can't think of anybody else that really the Braves would be rivaled by from those three guys. Matt Olson continued to be really hot coming off spring training. Ronald Acuna is doing everything from offense to defense, stealing bases. Austin Riley hitting the ball pretty consistently, playing a good third base. We know those guys are good. It remains to be seen if Olson can be consistent and Riley as well, who tailed off a bit last year, but Olson's average has been down in the 240s for the last couple of years of his career. Acuna and Riley have been up there higher, and we look for big things from all three. But Ronald Acuna, making great throws in the outfield, is showing his arm off, stealing bases, hitting the long ball, getting hits. As I said, he looks like Ronald, looks like the Ronald of old. He's finally well, and that knee looks to be something that he's not worrying about anymore, and it's showing off on the field with the way he's playing. So couldn't be more thrilled with that. The injury bug has hit the Braves, in particular with three major injuries the Braves have. Max Fried, the first, who went down about a week and a half ago or so with a pulled hammy of some sort, strained hammy. Understand Max is not yet throwing, so he's still probably a couple weeks away from being back. Michael Harris, also with a strained back or a back injury of some sort. He had about a few days ago. He is on the injured list and is gone a few days as well. Being replaced by Sam Hilliard, who's done a pretty good job out there in the center field, actually, with the bat and with the glove. But Michael Harris was a big loss for sure for the Braves. Michael hadn't really got warmed up yet when he got hurt. He wasn't hitting a ton yet. But Michael Harris is a guy we expect big things from, obviously. And then finally, a couple days ago, Travis d'Arnaud was hit on not a slide, but a play at the plate where Ruffin Odor did not slide and sort of nailed Travis in the head. Travis's head kind of bounced off the dirt then. He's on concussion protocol, so d'Arnaud has been out. And d'Arnaud, when I was talking about things going right, had been red hot. He was hitting the ball really, really well, playing a lot of DH, catching some. And, Travis d'Arnaud now on the disabled list or injured list, we now call it, is a big loss for the Braves as well, and as he's out. Chadwick Trump was called up to be the second catcher now behind d'Arnaud while Travis was playing. Or I'm sorry, behind Murphy now while Travis is out. So let's talk a second about Sean Murphy and d'Arnaud's usage. We've seen a lot of talk about this, a lot of criticism about Sean Murphy only starting about half the time at catcher. I saw a lot of media guys backing up the Braves management by saying that, it's a long season and Sean Murphy playing just part-time is smart, and Travis d'Arnaud is hot, so let him play. And I saw these folks justifying and kind of giving the folks complaining about Murphy not playing some flack. Well, I'm going to tell you, I think the flack is deserved. I think that the talk about Murphy not playing is a legit conversation, and here's why. The Atlanta Braves paid a premium price for Sean Murphy. In particular, Kyle Muller, William Contreras, and a couple of other minor league pitchers. I think it was 5 players total that went away from this Braves team, a couple of which could have helped us immediately in Muller and Contreras. So the fact that we're basically paying this kind of money for a guy we were playing as a part-time player to start with is a conversation piece, no question. And the folks that say it's not, I would beg to differ. You know, we should not have paid that price for a part-time player if that's what we did. Now, I do believe Sean Murphy will start most of the games at catcher this year, and Travis d'Arnaud is a nice option to have. And I'm a big Travis d'Arnaud fan, like him a lot. So this is not about Travis. Travis is made his mark with his team and deserves to play, whether it be at DH or at catcher, a good bit. Now, we'll talk about the problems at DH later on, so I'm getting to that, I promise. But right now, just the Murphy d'Arnaud situation. I'm not against Sean Murphy. We saw the throw he made early in the season in the first week with the pop time that was so, you know, so good. Very impressive throwing out a runner. He has got a great defensive skill set, there's no question. But that's one play he's made so far, folks. One play. Again, Sean can't control how many times someone runs on him. My point being is, you know, he's got to hit now, or we're really not going to see the benefits of the big trade we made. And he can't hit if he doesn't play. And I don't understand what's going on with that in some cases. Now with d'Arnaud out, we'll obviously see a lot more of Sean Murphy in more of a have-to situation. But I scratch my head at the Braves' usage of the catchers right now and how that was working before Travis got hurt. You know, again, the whole DH and the other catcher thing is not really a real option that much unless you have three catchers on your roster. You can't really go out there and DH d'Arnaud and Murphy every other game if you don't have a third catcher to back up if there's a problem. So I think that we're really not being honest about the fact that a catcher can DH every game even, because we've seen a lot of Marcelo Zuna this year, which is not good for this team as a DH. So you know, and moving from that note, now the lineup is just a mess too. You know, I mentioned the top three guys, how good they've been, how good they are, in Ronald Acuna, Matt Olson, and Austin Riley. Other than Travis d'Arnaud, who was hitting a lot of fourth and fifth for this team at DH or catcher when he played, the rest of that lineup has been brutal. You know, Ozzie Albies, who I'm a big fan of, has not hit a ton yet. You know, he's hit some. He's been batting cleanup a little bit. So I think Ozzie will be fine. Not worry about Ozzie Albies as a hitter or a defensive player for this team. I think he'll be really good. But everybody else after that, including Sean Murphy, has not been good with the bat. You know, you got to give Sean Murphy his chance, and you got to make him, you know, be a part of this lineup. He needs to hit and needs to be in there for the price we paid for him. So I have confidence he'll get better. Marcelo Zuna and Eddie Rosario, you know, I'll save my long discussion for this for a few minutes later on this podcast, but they've been bad. You know, at this point in time, Orlando Arcia has been pretty good. I stand corrected on my talk about him, but you know, I do say that he is he's going to have a little bit of trouble down the road at shortstop, but he's done a nice job at this point in time, and I'll address that a little bit more in a second. Center field, Sam Hilliard, you know, nice fill-in, decent fourth outfielder. I like what he's done, but I don't know that that's anything more than a part-time type guy. Kevin Pillar out in left field has played some and been okay, I guess. But this lineup, you know, after you get past that top four, as we're starting to see in the Padres series, there's very little pop down there in the bottom part of that lineup, and that is a problem, I think, going forward for this team. Let's talk about the rookie pitchers a second. Jared Schuster and Dylan Dodd now have two starts each. As we've seen, Jared Schuster got rocked twice. Has not looked good at all. His first outing, he did go give up four in the first inning and pitched decent after that, but gave up a lot of hits. Second outing wasn't very good. Dylan Dodd pitched really well the first time out for a rookie, or at least did fine. And then last night on ESPN, on Sunday Night Baseball, he got lit up by the Pods, and you know, both these guys were not ready in my mind. The Braves rushed them to bring them up to the majors, partially because they may have had injuries to guys like Kyle Wright. But you got to question why Bryce Elder didn't make this starting rotation to begin with. Bryce Elder, you know, has had a decent track record of some spot starts for the Braves in the past year or so. He looks to be a lot ahead of these guys with command and control. He's pitched one time, looked really good. I think he pitches maybe today again against Cincinnati. And we'll talk about that series in a second. But, you know, Elder, I do not understand why Bryce Elder did not crack this rotation. You know, the Braves tend to, like, make decisions based on seniority or based on different things. And I'll give you an example. You know, why was Marcell Ozuna and Eddie Rosario gifted starting spots when they obviously did nothing to earn that? Bryce Elder didn't have a great spring, but he has had some experience, and he was sent out to AAA. Ian Anderson, and I'll talk about that situation a little more too here shortly, but Ian Anderson had a bad spring. Now he's hurt. He has an elbow problem, so that may have been Ian's problem to begin with. But guys like Ian Anderson have been banished to AAA, much like Waskar Noah was prior to his injury, because the Braves got tired of them struggling. But then they go with guys like an Ozuna and a Rosario. And then you have to question also why, you know, the shortstop situation, we couldn't go one of those guys based on them playing great, unlike the rookie pitchers who played well in spring training. And they made it, but our shortstops didn't. So the Braves' decision-making processes on this lineup, on the pitching rotation, pitching staff, on cracking the roster out of spring training had me scratching my head. And I don't think Dodd nor Schuster should have been there to start the year. I think Bryce Elder should have. If we think Ian Anderson was healthy enough, he should have been as well, because he's just had major league experience. And, you know, that is a problem that we did not give those guys a chance, I think. And, you know, Anderson's a guy now, you have to wonder what his future holds. The Braves have a track record of kind of doing this. They banish guys to AAA. This kills their trade value, kills their prospect status, kills their value of the team. Anderson was the toast of the town for a few years, a high first-round draft pick for the Braves a few years back. A changeup that was basically worthy of anyone you could see in the majors. He pitched meaningful playoff games, kept us in the playoffs multiple times, was a postseason hero where a lot of times other pitchers couldn't go, and now Anderson has been treated like he's some cast-off. I don't like that at all. I really don't. And again, Ian Anderson's injury situation now, I don't know what that is. He may or may not be able to pitch anymore this year, but the way the Braves have dealt with him it makes me really sad and unhappy. And you know, we've got to figure out a better way. If we're not going to use these guys, trade them when you got trade value for them. You know, we held Christian Pache and Drew Waters way too long. You know, both are gone. Pache basically was released, and now he's a Philly. You know, Drew Waters is with the Royals, and, you know, he was a guy that I would love to see him stay with Atlanta. But he had higher trade value a few years before he got traded for a draft pick. So, you know, I just think we really have handled some things quite poorly with our players, our young players in particular. But Anderson now, you know, I don't know what we'll get out of him. I mentioned Waskar Noah. I think he's still not pitching yet from the surgery he had from Tommy John. But he was a guy that basically did something stupid, punched a wall after a start, hurt his hand, and the Braves banished him for that. The problem is they won't banish Marcell Ozuna for all the stuff he has done that's way worse than anything Waskar Noah or, frankly, anybody else that I know of has done for the Braves in recent years. And then, you know, Eddie Rosario just is not hitting at all, and those two guys keep getting sent out there again. So let's go to that again. I just think that the Braves made a monumental mistake in going into the year without addressing the two biggest holes they had, actually three biggest holes they had, left field, DH, and shortstop. Now, let's start with left field and Rosario. Eddie Rosario's track record as a player and a hitter is not good. He's a streaky, inconsistent hitter for this team and for the teams he's played for in the past, the Twins. You know, he got really hot in the World Series. We all loved what Eddie did in the NLCS, I believe it was, a couple years ago. He was incredible. He became a bit of a Braves legend for that, much like Jorge Soler. But Rosario is not a good hitter, and he is showing that in the outfield. He's also a pretty bad defender. Last night in Atlanta with the Padres game, he whiffed on a ball he should have caught. It ended up bouncing off his glove for a home run. Jumped a little bit too early. You know, I'm not saying I could have caught the ball, but I'm an old guy and don't play anymore. But Rosario's got to make plays with the glove, and he's got to hit, and he's not doing either. Ozuna was hitting 080 something as of last night. He's got two hits. They're both homers. We cannot keep sending Marcell Ozuna out there. Anyone on our bench at this point in time is a better option than Marcell Ozuna at the plate. That includes backup catchers. That includes backup infielders. That includes Sam Hilliard and Kevin Pillar. It's just something we can't do. And they've got to go ahead and cut ties and move on from Ozuna. He is just draining us at this point in time and never producing. Atlanta, I don't know what you're thinking here, but again, I just, doing what you did with these two spots baffles me. Now shortstop, I mentioned that's another need they didn't address, and they didn't. I give them credit on Orlando Arcia. Let me say this up front. I was very critical of the last podcast of Ozuna, of Arcia, of Ozuna too, but Arcia and the decision to go with him at shortstop. But here's the thing with Orlando Arcia. I'm sold on Arcia as a big league player and a Braves player that's important. Let me repeat that. I'm sold on Orlando Arcia as an important piece for the Braves this year and actually probably next year as well. I do not think, however, he's the long-term shortstop. He's a good hitter. He's a pretty good shortstop and backup infielder. And if he's your utility guy that can get some at-bats for you, pinch hit, whatever it may be, you're in good shape, and he is that guy. I'm very happy that he's on the team. The contract we signed him to is a good one because, it's not that high of a price, and he doesn't have to start every day for us to earn that contract. Now, here's the thing. When we do bring up a Braden Shoemaker or a Vaughn Grissom, and I do think Grissom is the guy long-term, Arcia's got to play DH or left field before Ozuna or Rosario. He's much better. He's shown that. He played some left field last year. He can also sub and back up the infield spots. He's your super utility type guy with a pretty good bat. He's got some pop. He can run. Got a great arm. Very good player. Good piece. I'm sold. He is a good person to have in this lineup right now. And you cannot justify keeping Ozuna and Rosario in the lineup, even when we do replace Arcia. I'm assuming we will at some point this year with a rookie at shortstop or a young player, I guess. Grissom is not technically a rookie anymore. So, Orlando Arcia, I stand corrected. I do like what you're doing. I do think we need a long-term shortstop, but he has done a nice job, Arcia has, and I am glad I'm wrong about him getting some playing time. So, I mentioned Kevin Pillar and Sam Hilliard. Backup outfielders. I like Sam Hilliard. I mean, he can play center. He can hit. He can run a little bit. Pretty impressed with what he's doing so far. He's probably a fourth outfielder type. Although when you have Ozuna and Arcia play, I'm sorry, Ozuna and Rosario playing, Pillar and Hilliard look like they're pretty good compared to them. I don't think Pilar's got it anymore. I don't think he's a guy I would have kept. We let Jordan Luplow go to AAA and seek him through waivers, and he got claimed, and he's gone. A guy we paid some money for in the offseason to sign as a free agent. So kind of negligent by the Braves there to keep Pillar and not keep Luplow. I don't think Luplow's a long-term guy either, but certainly he'd have been nice to keep around on this roster. Man, could we have paid Adam Duvall to come back? You've seen what he's doing in Boston right now. Team guy, love Adam. Should have kept him, should have signed him. I don't get what they did there either. But again, Hilliard playing a little center field right now, seeing what he can do. I'm pretty impressed with his body of work, I should say, I guess, there. Back to the rotation a minute. It's a mess. With Fried out, with Kyle Wright not quite ready yet, with Mike Soroka not ready yet. We're getting thin. The two rookies have been up. I would love to have Kyle Muller back, man, in the trade. Again, I go back to that trade we made for Murphy. I just still hate the trade. Particular because of Muller and Contreras, who could be the everyday DH. Muller could be in the rotation. I think he's a better option than either of the two rookies we got up right now, Dodd or Schuster. Muller would be. He's had two decent starts for Oakland. Oakland's not good, so he won't win a lot of games there, but he did pitch pretty well twice from what I can read. I didn't see it, but the stats look good. Going to miss Kyle Muller. He could have been a nice rotation piece for us, I think, going forth. As far as Soroka and Wright, Kyle Wright is tentatively slated to start, I think, later this week. I'm a big Kyle Wright fan. I think he's a very underrated pitcher. Led the league in wins last year, and he kind of gets no respect. But Kyle is in my mind, one of the best we have, and love to see him out there. Spencer Strider's been pretty good so far, as we know. With Freed down, Strider's the guy. Charlie Morton's been inconsistent. Still wonder why we're paying Charlie $20 million for a year with an option. But and that's not anything against Charlie. I love Charlie. I always have. I wanted to sign him a few years ago when we did. But he's not young anymore, and that kind of money for a guy who's basically a question mark if he can pitch all year or not is a crazy signing in my mind. But I do like Kyle. I'm glad he's here. We need him right now for sure. Again, Soroka, not sure what to expect. His arm seems fine. Velocity's been good, I'm told, in AAA. Had the leg, the lower body injuries going on. So if we get Mike and Kyle back up there soon to help, that may ease some of this pain and woes of having the two rookies. But right now, the starting rotation is a piecemeal mess, and that's to be kind. Finally, speaking of messes, let's talk about the bullpen. you know, Kirby Yates, my goodness. We paid Kirby in kind of a took a flyer on him, what I guess that was a year and a half ago or so in the offseason, to bring him in. He pitched a little bit last year, not much at the end of the year. Looked like he wasn't well, was trying to pitch and trying to throw strikes and was ineffective. He's come in this year, and I think Snit had an idea of getting him in there and getting him in high leverage spots, and he's just been bad again. So we really can't keep sending Kirby Yates out there as anything more than a mop-up guy the way he is right now. But, you know, I don't know the options are great otherwise as well to bring folks in. And then Lucas Litke, I believe I said his name correctly, that we signed from the Yankees or got in the trade, a waiver deal trade, isn't very good either. Goodness gracious. I mean, he's come in a couple times and looked pretty bad. So, you know, the Braves are missing their closer in Raisel Iglesias. He's not really sure of the update for Raisel, but he started the year on the IL, is still there. So he's probably our best late inning arm. AJ Minter, obviously, is a very good late inning arm as well that comes in there and does things. Dylan Lee's been very good. So the bullpen that we thought was going to be so great has also been a bit thin. Kudos to Michael Tonkin still, who has pitched a few times and looked pretty decent for this Braves team, a journeyman guy who I like a lot right now, the way he's come in and pitched. So Tonkin's been really good, you know, and again, we've seen some of him because the Braves games have been out of hand the last couple days, pitching from behind, so Tonkin's made some appearances and looked decent doing so. So I was pretty negative today because a lot went wrong this week. They were still 4-3, though. Things are not looking too bad for the Braves long term. Got to get some things figured out. Got to figure it out left field and DH. And we've been saying this the whole offseason, so nothing new here. Maybe got to figure out something long term at shortstop. Hopefully Murphy starts hitting a little more to go along with the big three. But we got to get some help for our top three hitters. Got to get some help up there. And, you know, I don't know what it is. There's not a lot of internal options with the bat in the minor leagues. There's 3 or 4 shortstops on our prospect list. Jesse Franklin, an outfielder, you know, may or may not be ready to come up. But we need some help for some of these guys, some of these top guys in the lineup for sure. And I don't know where that's going to come from in the short term. The Braves this week have 6 games. They've got one day off on Thursday. Those 6 games, we have 3 at home with the Reds. Who aren't super good, I don't think. And then we've got 3 on the road at Kansas City. So the Braves need to play a little better. They struggled the last few days of the week. And we'll see what today brings. They start at 6:20 tonight with Bryce Elder versus Graham Ashcraft, a good young pitcher for the Reds, who's got, I think, a high velocity, throws quite hard as well. So we'll see how that goes for the Braves. Again, a 6:20 Eastern or Central Time start. I want to mention one more thing that I saw a lot of chatter about, and that's Apple TV. You know, those of us that pay money to watch the Braves, and a lot of people buy the MLB package. The Braves are my local team, so I paid for a DirecTV service to get Bally Sports so I can watch them on Bally Sports. And MLB basically sells the rights away to Apple TV for a Friday night game to take away baseball from those that want to watch it. And they give some broadcast that does different things. You know, MLB has really got to figure some things out here. And I mean, MLB is in the overall organization running baseball, the commissioner's office. All these new changes to make the game better for casual fans. I mean, you know, I argue whether they do or not. I still hate the pitch clock. I do like the no shift rule. I don't know about the bases and the throwing to first thing yet. I mean, I don't really love that either. There's a lot of stolen bases happening now. Nobody's throwing anybody out. But to give away the rights to Apple TV for more subscription services for certain games of the year is just a bad, bad look for baseball. Nothing personal on Apple TV. They've got great cameras, the high-quality picture, the cool little tinkering things they do with their games when you can watch them. But last year they were free. Now they're not. You need Apple TV Plus. I'm not buying that for three or four games. So I'll listen to the Braves on the radio on Friday night. But the fact that we couldn't get the local game for us, or MLB package didn't have that for folks watching it on MLB, is just a bad, bad thing for baseball. And, you know, stop doing all these ridiculous things. Stop changing everything MLB. Let's let our game that's great the way it is, it's been great for a long, long time, continue to be great. Let's get the TV stuff figured out and let our fans watch games that don't cost a ton of money for us to watch. We're willing to pay for our games by subscription for satellite TV, MLB, but don't do stupid stuff like subscription services, baseball. Stop doing that. Give us access to our games the way we need to have those. So there's my last rant. I'm optimistic now after talking about some problems that the Braves are going to figure this out, get better, but I look to see some changes soon. I really hope we're going to see some different options in the outfield and at DH. I hope we hit a little more, get our pitchers well. We should get going and rolling. We're still 6-4, so things look up. Reds 3 at home, Royals 3 on the road. Have a great week, folks. Go Braves.
Hello, and thanks for listening to the Braves Craze podcast. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to follow the Braves Doctor on Twitter @DrBraves.